clear and concise. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk TNT.
Slaves to the system. More tales from the road in a post-truth world. So one of the things that I really want to talk about is the fact that so many people out there are so unhappy with their daily lives while trying to project that they're not. And they're slaves to this idea, this narrative that encompasses them on so many levels, whether they realize it or not. And kind of having a conversation with my high school friend who I hadn't sat down with in a decade, meeting her kid for the very first time, 12 years old, by the way, there with the husband. You know, these are people that don't really have time to look outside of whatever is on Netflix or MSNBC. They're both people that are going to retire by 55. Folks, I'm 11 years out from 55. Decades go like this now. They're like, that quick. I can't imagine what I would be doing with my life at 55 if I wasn't working. I really have no idea. Like, what? I was thinking to myself, what are you going to do all day? What, you going to play golf and drink? Like, is that a thing? That, to me, folks, really is odd. Now, I'm in a very lucky place, I guess, at least for me. I expect to work to the very day that I die. If, in fact, I can no longer run my mouth for a living, hopefully I can see enough that I can read and then write things or use whatever tools to edit other types of media. Really, unless I am a quadriplegic with severe brain trauma, there is no way, shape, or form that I won't be trying to contribute something to society in some way, shape, or form till my very end, till my last breath. Because I think that's important. Maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe it's a focus on a family member or a friend. But I got to have a purpose. And so many people's purpose is just to get to the next thing, to get to some imagination land finish line that doesn't exist. Oh, I paid off the mortgage. But now you're retired with Social Security and you can't pay your bills, let alone your medical bills. And now you're on a reverse mortgage. Oh, wait, no, you're not. Now you're out of your house. Oh, wait, no, your family doesn't want to take care of you. Now you're in a home. Is that how you were going to spend your golden years? Now imagine a world where you keep learning things and you keep doing what you love and getting paid for it so you can sustain that same level of life and have a purpose. Well, that's why I'm going to live to 126. I mean, that's it. I've got a driving force. And, you know, one of the questions I was asked by my friend is, so you don't want to go mainstream, because we actually have a friend of ours that in their family, and I've met him several times. He's an NBC anchor. You know, he could be one of those guys that's going to be making tens of millions of dollars every year to spit some narrative. And they're kind of excited about that. And they're like, you don't want to do that? You're not interested? I go, I don't think I could live with myself if I was doing that. Of course not. I want to do what's right. And I think that matters. And it's great. And I thank God all the time. And I'm not even a religious person, that I've been given that opportunity to challenge the narrative, all right, especially the false narrative, and fight evil. And as long as I do that, to the day I die, I'm a pretty happy guy. And I think that if more people did that and had the drive to do what they love, they'd already make the world a better place. And if they were striving for truth, wow, how about hug your neighbor, kind of hippy-dippy love stuff? That's all I'm saying, guys. You want to do stuff like that? StandInTheLight.UK. How about you fancy a bank holiday weekend and a music festival for truth and freedom and love? I know it sounds very 1960s, guys. I promise you not. It's 2020s. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles in Hope, Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors, this is an event that is not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth around the world. A Stand in the Park and Light Paper presents Stand in the Light, a Truth Music Festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th through the 27th. You get 4 days of camping and full access for the whole festival for just $60 plus a booking fee. Children under 5 come free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit the website now and make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. StandInTheLight.uk. We're going to take a quick break. Adam Clark bringing the ruckus after this. More TNT.
Conversations to inform and include.
It's meant for everyday people to understand.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A handful of major U.S. newspapers are suing OpenAI and Microsoft, alleging the technology companies have purloined millions of copyrighted news articles without permission or payment in order to train ChatGPT, which they have. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT news producer Adam Clark. Bring the ruckus on this one. Why shouldn't OpenAI have access to all the copyrighted material in the world?
Why not? Why, let's just do it. Methinks actually that the problem here, Jason, is more about the non-payment issue than the purloining issue. I just want to throw that out there in the front. This is actually just the latest development in an ongoing battle that's been brewing. There's quite a ruckus, as it were, going on between news organizations and tech companies over the use of copyrighted content to train artificial intelligence language models. So now we have eight major U.S. newspapers have come together and in a complaint filed Tuesday in New York. There's New York again. The newspaper publishers raised copyright claims against ChatGPT and Copilot. That's an AI tool that debuted last February for users of the Windows operating system. It's and may have magically, mysteriously arrived on your computer without asking for it, as the case with me. It's also inside the Bing search engine and other Microsoft products, that is Copilot. According to the complaint, OpenAI and Microsoft have been, quote, purloining millions of the publisher's copyrighted articles without permission and without payment, end quote, to fuel their generative AI software that has generated billions with a B of dollars in revenue. Ah, I think they want a piece of that pie. To build and operate generative AI products, the newspapers argued, OpenAI and Microsoft hired programmers and engineers, utilized computers and specialized chips, consumed electricity, how dare you, and built expensive and highly sophisticated facilities, while the tech giants paid for all those. They didn't want to pay for the news content that fed the AI. Oh, the complaint reads, quote, Microsoft and OpenAI simply take the work product of reporters, journalists, editorial writers, editors, and others who contribute to the work of local newspapers, all without any regard for the efforts, much less the legal rights, of those who create and publish the news on which local communities rely, end quote. The newspapers cited examples of chatbots being prompted to offer entire news articles, in some cases verbatim, from their paywalled website. In one example, ChatGPT gave the user word for word the first excerpt in the Chicago Tribune's 2017 article, What to Do with a Broken Illinois, Dissolve the Land of Lincoln. That was the title of the article. It did this when the prompt asked for a summary of the piece, quote, followed by the actual text, end quote. Yowza. Quote, this issue is not just a business problem for a handful of newspapers or the newspaper industry at large, the newspapers argued. It is a critical issue for civic life in America, end quote. The lawsuit was brought by eight, as I mentioned, regional daily newspapers who are owned by hedge fund Alden Global Capital. They are the New York Daily News, Chicago Tribune, Orlando Sentinel, South Florida Sun Sentinel, San Jose Mercury News, Denver Post, Orange County Register, and St. Paul Pioneer Press. They are being represented by Rothwell, Figg, Ernst & Manbeck. That is a Washington-based law firm who's also representing, this is probably where you've already heard of such a thing, the New York Times in a separate copyright infringement lawsuit against OpenAI and Microsoft. That's right. Last December, the Times sued, arguing that ChatGPT and Copilot are competing with the same newspaper they are trained on and diverting internet traffic away from the newspaper's online edition. In its complaint, the Times provided evidence of the chatbots reproducing near verbatim excerpts of its articles. Those included a Pulitzer Prize-winning 2019 investigative series on the taxi industry and food critic Pete Wells' 2012 review of TV super chef Guy Fieri's now closed Times Square restaurant. The Times also alleged that OpenAI's GPT-4 falsely attributed product recommendations to Wirecutter, the paper's product reviews site. So a lot of trouble, Jason, in, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily fair that the AI or anybody or anything is stealing somebody's hard work. I'm sure you would agree. But what say you about this latest development?
Well, I'll say this, it's going to be very complex, right? Because even today, for the very first time, I used Photoshop Beta, where the new generative AI tool when I'm creating my thumbnails. Now, prior to this, everybody, it was just a text prompt, just like you would see in Midjourney, etc. Now it's much more than that. I can actually download an image or have an image as a reference image. Now, we have seen that again in some of these other tools, obviously, when they're looking at an individual, but now I can directly reference an image that's obviously, even though there's a little disclaimer, says you can't use it if you don't have the copyright, is going to be used by everybody like myself, especially when I'm creating images that I don't anticipate to profiteer off of. In other words, I'm not slapping them on a t-shirt. They're not going to be out there some kind of an advertisement, etc. It doesn't have a commercial use other than to get people to try to watch the content that I put out there for free, right? But at the same time, I see all this stuff. And even before that, I specifically remember one AI illustration that was generated to me. And I looked at it and I'm like, I've seen that image before. That's not just a scrape it and make it into something different. That's spot on. And that's a huge issue, right? And especially in a world where all these people thought that automation was coming before AI and that the truckers were going to be out of jobs before the paralegals, before, you know, the medical assistants, before so many people within the Hollywood and political world, right? Entertainment and political world, no, it's them going to be affected. The joke's really on the individuals themselves, because ultimately I think that there will be payouts, but it's just going to be these corporate monsters at the very top that financially make anything as people are automated out of jobs. So, you know, it's one of those things where we're going to have to navigate these situations. Obviously, it's not a black or white issue. But again, let's give you some more tales from the road. This was my fraternity's alumni weekend. One of the young men that was about to graduate, or actually he's about to become a senior. I said, well, what are you here for? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, what do you like to do? And he's like, well, I'm an audio engineer and, you know, I like playing around with the software. He's like, what would you suggest? I go, well, what are you getting, like a mass comm degree? He's like, exactly. I'm like, well, that's a garbage degree. And you're going to definitely want to concentrate on some type of engineering. But I told him straight up, what you can do is learn the new AI programs that are out there. And I think that's a very important thing because, you know, AI is taking over all sorts of that aspect. And I go, you'll at least have a job in the industry if you can utilize these tools. He kind of thought about it for a second. He said, you know, that's actually a really good idea. And I go, it's a better idea than you know, because you don't have to depend on the university that you're at. You can literally look these things up. And these are the things that aren't being banned on YouTube that you can access very quickly. And if you don't understand them, you hit pause. So it's that double-edged sword, right? We're in the midst of this technology. We know the corporate leviathans are going to try to take everything they can. And we just got to make do with what they let us have, in my humble opinion, Adam.
Well, yeah. And how is this any different than any traditional corporate work structure, right? There's always somebody at the top who's making all of the benefit off of your hard work and sweat and blood and tears down there at the bottom, you know, getting squashed on and stepped on for the next person to climb up that ladder. Maybe that's all that's going to change. I mean, it's unstoppable. So we're just going to have to change the hierarchy. So from this point forward, Jason, I would suggest that the artificial intelligence is the ultimate mega boss. I guess that's how we'll have to just deal with life moving forward.
You know, it's almost like you're setting me up for my next segment with Matt Baker, where we're going to be talking about some of these AI tools, including personal assistants that are on the way via Amazon Web Services for the chosen few, and even Q apps. So these things are moving at a rapid pace, much more rapid than people are used to, just kind of like what I was discussing with Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance earlier. So a jam-packed show so far, folks. I don't know why you'd want to miss any of it. We got to take a break. More TNT Matt Baker up after this.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Without CO2, the world stops breathing.
CO2 sustains all life on Earth. Government, the WEF, and the elite believe humans are the carbon they really want to be rid of.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are now joined by analyst, activist, and independent journalist Matt Baker. We're going to be talking AI and the protests across the country right now, but it wouldn't be a segment if we didn't kick it off with the Musker Nuts himself and Elon, New World Order suit wearing Musker Do, has now changed his avatar back to, I believe it's the Devil's Champion, his little Baphomet outfit. He's thrown up a new Tesla symbol logo that's incorporated with the game Diablo, has a nice little pentacle or what some would refer to a circular pentagram on it. I mean, this guy is the best thing since breakfast, and I'm just so glad he's the champion of free speech that we all deserve, Matt.
I don't know, man, because I posted that picture up with him there, and I'm just like, I get so much hate back. They're like, whatever, he's the greatest thing. And I'm like, you know, everybody worships him. But it's just so weird, because if anyone else is even near a pentagram or even accidentally is like talking, you know, like, oh, yeah, or does something like or goes like this, like, I know what you mean, or anything. It's like, oh, my God. And everybody's in hysteria, you know, but Elon, he can like literally dress up as Satan, post pentagrams all day long. And, you know, let's not forget the microchips and the surveillance grid and being in control of, you know, Skynet. So, you know, it's no big deal, but it's just weird. It's like a weird mind control that somehow or another he gets away with it. It's like he gets a pass no matter what. It's kind of freaky, really.
Yeah, you know what else is weird? Now, again, I have to pay for the Twitter or the X or whatever the kids are calling it if I want to put up videos that are more than 2 minutes or live stream. That's why I do it. I just got paid out. Now, I always make sure that I'm on the following tab and not the for you tab. All right. And in the following tab, It's expected that I only see tweets from people that I'm following. No, Elon Musk forces himself in my feed. I see all of Musk's tweets. I'm not following the guy. And it's like, well, I don't want to mute him because if somebody else tweets him out, I'd kind of like to see that or the response or something like that. I don't want to block him because he doesn't deserve to be blocked by Jason Burmes. You hear that, Elon? You got me?
Well, so he's the last person you want to call out, man. You'll be shadow banned in no time, bro.
I'm shadow banned already, paying for it. Let's be honest. Like, I'm already there. So, you know, that's kind of this extreme place that we're in. There aren't choices and they're all colluding. That kind of brings us to the first AI story, right? Apple is now targeting Google employees for their artificial intelligence. Big shocker. It's this one incestuous circle of Silicon Valley nerds and really corporate government contractors. That's what we're continuously seeing with this modern day AI, even with the lawsuits and the things we were discussing in the last segment. So talk about that.
Well, you know, like Elon just put a post out, actually it's like turned into a news story, and he's like, well, if you're not spending at least $10 billion in the future on AI, you're just going to be left behind. Sorry, I've already warned you. And his little alter ego was on with Alex Jones, Adrian Dittman, our other most favorite character in the world. And he was basically like, because I was talking about how we need to rein it in and we have to have limits on how intelligent these things. He's like, oh no, there's no way you could do it. You can basically build an AI on your cell phone. Like, you get two or three cell phones and you make an AI. And then the real Elon or whoever, you know, the real Elon comes out and he's like, no, you need $10 billion to even get to the table. And that's now where we're at here. Like, I mean, this is going to be pretty much where entire GDPs are going to be put into it to when it becomes the full on, you know, AI war. It's like everyone's going to get sucked into having to spend every single dollar they have just to keep up with the Joneses. So it's like the idea that we couldn't put limits on it is ridiculous. So this idea that you could just have a group of like terrorists in the back of a car with an AI that would take over the world is completely ridiculous. We could easily be tracking the sales of giant microchips. Like these chips have lists, like waiting lists to get on. They only last so long. You could find out who is, you know, using the equipment that needs to be to make the chips. You could find out just on the internet, just search where massive data is getting dragged or bandwidth has been used. It's total BS. It could be regulated, but everybody has like stared into the eye of Sauron and they're just like mesmerized by it. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull through, but it could be regulated. Absolutely.
Well, I think when you're talking about that right now, you're already kind of seeing the distance between the average user and what they're going to experience via AI and what somebody with means and resources is going to be able to experience. We're already seeing the large gap. You know, Musk with that tweet isn't wrong. Like, if you want to be at the table with NVIDIA, they right now have the most powerful commercial chips. So they have a monopoly on that market. Now, fast forward to Amazon and AWS, Amazon Web Services. Well, they're launching their next level commercial idea. Again, it's this shell game, right? You're going to have to use our servers over at NVIDIA, but we're going to give you the commercial project or product, and that is the new AI virtual assistant. And this is going to be working out a lot of the corporate individuals within their system. So in other words, certain people that work over at Amazon are going to have access to these AI assistants. And over time, you're going to be firing people that used to have jobs that these yes, that these AI assistants are using, and it will trickle down. Now, there's another app system that they're putting out again for the normies, for the us, and they're actually called Q apps, folks. No, don't trust the plan. It's not Donald Trump coming to save us. They're not going to have a little hairline, but they're Q app line is now their AI for consumers. So you're already see the level building within the AI infrastructure when we are talking Google, Amazon, Apple, all the major players, Matt.
Well, yeah. For example, I was just watching just my local news today. And it's funny because everyone's like, oh, AI. But then yeah, the newscasters, there was a guy who brought on a clip. He's like, yeah, check out this newscaster, AI newscaster. It was kind of a little glitchy. And they're like, oh, he's like, well, that was the old one. You want to see the new one? And the new one's like, you know, moving his shoulders and like got body language and smirks and like pauses and everything. You can see the newscasters going, nope. Like, so he, not only did he say you can't compete in AI, basically he was saying you can't compete, period. Like if you're making widgets and somebody can design 575,000 widgets and have them all produced in China and have them all shipped and have individual people, tech support, running entire corporations of freaking Temu, basically a modernized Temu, there's no way you're going to be able to compete with them. And so it's all fun and games, like I say, until these things really want to take the reins. And that's why we need peace in this world back to the Middle East, because the other arm of this is we keep building more autonomous killing weapons. So it'd be one thing if this AI system was there and it's like, oh, I want to take over the world, but there was no AI killing machines en masse. But instead, we're building, they just built this new giant 10-ton tank. It's like autonomous drone tank. They've got autonomous flying weapons. They've got autonomous robots, autonomous dogs. And once this thing gets to a critical mass, I mean, of course, a super mega intelligent, like thousands of times even smarter than what we already have now, can hack all of these systems at once. And it literally has access to the entire world's arsenal. But what could go wrong, Jason?
You know, I'm more worried about those machines in the sense of what they're doing right now, autonomously picking and killing people and people ignoring it and acting like it's not happening. And if you dare to question it, you're anti-Semitic. We're going to talk about that aspect of this post-truth world when we get back. We're with Matt Baker. It's TNT. You're not going to want to miss it back after this.
Now, TNT Radio News.
You are completely obsessed with
breaking news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Northwestern University has agreed to meet several demands of pro-Palestinian protesters, ending a campus encampment marked by controversy. Anti-Israel protesters at the University of Texas at Austin are planning another gathering to discuss Palestinian history and issues after dozens were arrested the previous day. Federal food safety inspectors are now testing ground beef in grocery stores for bird flu in states where dairy cows have tested positive for the virus, as reported by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
You know, recently I've heard a lot of people talking about fifth generation warfare, and they're talking about a lot of the social media and the psychological aspects of this warfare. But one of the things that they fail to really confront is this idea of autonomous death from above and now AI picking targets. All right. So if you believe the reports from the Lavender system that they had 35,000 Hamas terrorists on there, I would love to see the list and the criteria for that, because we already know during the war of terror, not on terror, folks, we had a system where we called all males 16 and older enemy combatants. Let me repeat that. All males 16 and older enemy combatants. So AI right now, especially with large language models, is garbage in, garbage out. So what was garbage out? So what was the criteria right there? And when we see this drone footage where it is clear that unarmed civilians are being killed, men, women, and children, we also have to question not only the AI, but the accountability of drones that are not autonomous. That's frightening enough. And really coming full circle to the issue of the protests, if you dare to speak out against this in any way, shape, or form, you're immediately framed as pro-Hamas, left-wing, anti-Semitic, etc. So wrap it up for us, man. What's going on? How do we combat this thing?
Well, the first thing we need to do is not fall for the next obvious PSYOP. I mean, how annoying is it when you see one PSYOP and you spend weeks and months pointing it out, and then everyone's like, oh yeah, that was a PSYOP. And then the next one rolls out and everyone falls hook, line, and sinker over and over again for these PSYOPs. The new PSYOP, the first one was the war in the first place, and how they managed to, they use the 40 beheaded babies and all of the super atrocity porn to get the boots on the ground and get the bombs going. And then afterwards, they're like, well, maybe there wasn't 40 beheaded babies. Well, they weren't just running around raping people. I mean, we killed half our own people, but you know, we did stand down. And the story just started falling apart, but it never, the war never ended, and it just went into complete high gear. And now that they're autonomously killing people, they can always say, oh, the algorithm was off. Sorry, bro. Oh, we fired that programmer in China or some guy in India. Like, oh, he must have forgot a zero or something. How they were actually, one of the criteria was obviously your age and things. They also were including posts online. One of the criteria was if you just happen to go from house to house. So if you're like a kid and you're going to see your grandmother or your uncle or something like that, if you go from more than one house, then you're some, you know, like they would say you're a drug dealer, but oh, you're a Hamas dealer. And another thing that really bothers me is they're constantly saying, oh, well, human shields, you know, we had to bomb the church because they were using them as human shields. And we had to bomb the school because they were using them as human shields. So tell me, if Hamas knows that you're going to bomb the church and the school and the hospital and all these places, no matter what, regardless of if they're there or not, why would they even be there in the first place? Wouldn't you just be in a random building at that point? Aren't you pointing out? Wouldn't you be like, they're going to bomb the church because they know that's where the human shields are? So it's total BS. And what we need to not fall the new PSYOP to bring it around is everyone's pro crackdown now on these protesters. The only thing it's going to do is make the protests worse and radicalize these kids into being wanting to protest more and more. If we had to let the protests go and fizzle out, no big deal, it would have went away. But no, they had to go in, crack some heads, give some kids like, oh, I was there, we have the video. And then like, I mean, I was raised in the COVID battle, and like that made me kind of a star. And there'll be these little stars that pop off like they did something in the movement and they're now the new guy. We're like creating this weapon system. And then all the right wing falls completely hook, line, and sinker. Like, yes, we need to crack down on all protesters, even if it's, you know, just mellow protesting. People online are going, but they were holding people back and they strangled a girl, which is totally not good. But everything that they were saying was happening to me as a Trump supporter, going out supporting Trump at Trump rallies. These leftists would come up, they would cordon us off, they would throw things at us, they would punch people, they would pull hats up, like everything. But there was no like, oh, that's anti-Trump hate speech, we need a law. It's like, it's okay then. But when a certain part of the world gets in trouble, then all of a sudden it's crackdowns, crack skulls, take people away. And all it's going to do is get these kids worked up. And what's going to happen? You're going to be amazed. The magic they're going to do to somehow have this be a win for the left. Watch.
Well, the way I look at it is that free speech is free speech, even if you don't like it. And the idea, I can't stand when I hear these are Hamas terrorists or terrorist sympathizers that are protesting. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I probably don't agree with all the protesters and what their positions may be on Israel. There certainly may be some out there that say, wipe Israel off the map. There may certainly be people that are anti-Semitic. That's a possibility. They have the right to say those things. They have the right to be that. Free speech is only free when you let the ugliest of speech, stuff that you know deep down is awful and terrible and maybe even pure evil, out in the world, for you to shine the light on that darkness and engage with it, and instead what? Produce more speech, true speech, you know, love speech, really. That's what it is, because to me, truth is the ultimate love, and love is the ultimate truth. And those are the hard truths we have to tell people, is just because you don't like them and what they're doing, you don't get to call them terrorists and take away their rights and censor them. If they break laws, just like when Antifa was ripping down statues, hey, I want them charged with vandalism. You know, 100%. That's what I want. I want the same rules for everybody. That's how a civil society works. That's how we get what? a discussion going, and hopefully in a better place. And we find out, wait a minute, maybe we have more in common. And the ultimate goal is to stop death from above and escalating into a conflict that could possibly be global and make World War II and even the war on terror look like a picnic, quite frankly, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Trump should have came out and he should have said, well, you know, if you had me in, we just wouldn't have had a need for protests. And he would have just said, there would have been peace, there would have been peace. And they would just avoid any other conversation. Would you crack skulls? Would you crack down? Do you believe it? Just be like, we wouldn't be having this conversation, you know, and then make Biden look bad. But instead, they come out and all the right wing people, they fall right into the trap almost on purpose. I feel like it's scripted that the right wing was doing too well. The left had no platform to stand on. So we're like, you guys got to come out and be the head crackers against the kids in school so we can rile up our base. Just so happens to be an election year. I mean, is this, are we living in Groundhog's Day, people, or what? I mean, it's not a coincidence, you know. I just can't believe people are falling for it, you know, and like you said, especially individual people, just because one person rammed a cop at J6 doesn't mean the granny who is there waving a flag is guilty of that. And that's what they always do. And when they bring in an agent provocateur, they can have anyone come in and say anything. And then that's how everyone at the protest across the entire country said the one thing that the one agent provocateur said, and ergo the end of the First Amendment. We got to hold the line, people.
Yes, it's classic guilt by association and creating false narratives, and we have to combat those on every level because there is a place for peace and there is a place in the middle. And I'm telling you right now, if you're somewhere on the fringes of these things and not looking at the big picture, well, you're really enabling the system to cause the havoc that's currently going on. And really, talk about misinformation, disinformation, just put us in a post-truth world state where this is going to continue until ultimately they decide when it stops. We can't have that. Matt Baker, we will see you next week as always. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Zach Payne, and we're going to be talking the trials and tribulations of Trump and beyond. We're also going to be talking about a little AI and health and human services. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
Sometimes a car comes along that changes everything, with innovations never thought possible and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VW Bee. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you will never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
I have a feeling these are the suspects in question. The two occupants look like the people involved in the armed robbery. I'm approaching the vehicle. Request backup. The driver matches the description because of a wide-set nose.
We are for pets. We do anything for them because they do everything for us. We are for people, for those who love pets unconditionally. We are for good, from adoptions and veterinary care to disaster relief and fighting pet hunger. We stand together to create a better world for pets and families in need. We are PetSmart Charities, for pets, for people, for good.
Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
And And we are back. We are joined by Zach Payne, and we are talking Trump's trials and tribulations. Zach, you and I have been talking about this for some time. Now we are in the midst of this first criminal trial. We have a judge threatening Trump, already threatened the lawyers, throwing out that first fine. We knew that was going to come via, you know, this gag order that is completely unconstitutional, but so far, in many ways, serving its purpose. And really what I'm seeing is the road to a predetermined conviction. I think there, again, is a small possibility of a possible hung jury. But right now, from what I'm seeing, all is going according to nefarious plan from the other side of the political spectrum, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've pretty much got it right, Jason. I mean, there's clearly a single track that they want to take this trial down, and that is ultimately to lead Trump into prison time, or at the very least, in some sort of degradation of his authority or the way he looks in the eyes of the people. But I think you're right. There is a distinct possibility we may end up with a hung jury. But even if we don't, and it does end up in some sort of a conviction, I simply do not think that any verdict that would find him guilty would end up standing. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. I mean, besides the fact that these are non-crimes that were not committed by him, and it's completely farcical from the very start, there have been a couple of major, I guess, mistakes that have been made on behalf of the prosecution and the judge as well. You know, for instance, on the very first day of trial, the prosecutors made the argument, or at least the insinuation, that the actions they're accusing Trump of were somehow an FEC violation, that he has somehow committed a fraud in terms of his election and the funding of it. And that's just not the case at all. And I'm immediately reminded of the recently overturned verdict for Harvey Weinstein. Something very similar happened in his trial. The lawyers in that trial, they had a couple of women who had consensual relationships with Harvey for years after he likely behaved very, very badly. And instead of just using their stories, because there was little to no evidence to suggest that something illegal actually had happened, they brought in all of these women from the trial in California. Now, whatever they said, none of what they were claiming happened in New York. And it's actually illegal to insinuate someone's guilt in New York based upon past actions, criminal bad behavior or otherwise. And so that's a large part of the reason why Harvey Weinstein's verdict was overturned, because it was a 14th Amendment violation. I think that you're seeing just about the same thing happen right here. And I think it illuminates a major problem that we have in America, not just that we have a really crooked justice system in general, but that in New York in particular, there's something really, really stinky going on here. I don't think that Donald Trump is truly in any danger.
Well, here's my issue with that. First of all, I couldn't believe they convicted Weinstein and then he went to jail in the first place. And now that he's off, you know, the only question is, why did he spend so much time in prison in the appeals process? Likely the country club prison, obviously not with Gen Pop, maybe not the original Epstein treatment where he was able to leave, but he's out of the mix. He still was in jail. If they find a conviction against Trump, that's exactly what they want. They want that perp walk. You know, they want that Time magazine cover moment of him literally being led off in cuffs. And that's something I think that the judge is going to go for if you do have a conviction. All the appeals in the world aren't going to stop that, in my mind, in this case, right? A lot of people continuously kind of have, in my opinion, their own fantasies about how it goes down if Trump gets convicted. I've heard a lot of, he'll just go to Mar-a-Lago and he'll have Secret Service protection. And I don't know that that's the case. So what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously this is a huge media moment. We're going to get a verdict well before the election in November. I'd say within the next 6 to 8 weeks, max. What does that look like?
Well, I mean, you're right. Nobody truly knows what's going to happen here. I mean, everybody's kind of just like spitting in the dark. But I mean, I can tell you from my perspective, I anticipate that this will become probably the most memeable moment in American history. I mean, take a look at this. This is my coffee mug. That's Donald Trump's mugshot from Georgia. Okay, he used this as a campaign tool. Okay, and it worked. It was wildly successful. He's still selling tons of them. People love it. They look at that picture and they say he's a boss and he's being persecuted by the crooked American justice system. If they actually put him in jail for any length of time, he said it himself. He's going to become a modern day American Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela spent decades in prison and he went on to lead the country of South Africa. I don't know how successfully, look at how it's going right now, but still he did return and he was able to become a leader. Now, we only have until November for all of this to shake out because in November is going to be the election. Even if he is put in jail for any length of time, there is nothing about his conviction that would preclude him from continuing to run for president and even in being elected for president. I posit to you that if he is put into jail, whether it's for violation of the gag order or it's because he's found guilty for the bogus charges that he's facing, he is ultimately still going to be elected president. And, you know, let's just say worst case scenario, he writes himself a pardon from prison. He walks out. And he says, watch out, I'm coming for you. But there are so many different things that could happen. And I really don't see that as a likely scenario. I know it's what they want, but I think that it is the most extreme possibility. And I just don't see it.
Does this expedite the Supreme Court having to weigh in on whether or not Trump can really be found guilty as an ex-president of any of these crimes? Or are they just going to take their sweet time? May this just be a shun where they're like, you know, we'll wait till the election after 2024. Maybe we'll decide.
I think they're trying to wait until the election currently. But if it comes down to it, then I would have to imagine that there would be some level of pressure that they would feel to get that decision out there and get it out as quickly as possible. I mean, given all that he's facing and just the clear-cut efforts by the Biden regime to try to destroy him in whatever way they can, I would like for them to give this decision as soon as possible. The Supreme Court has never really done anything on anybody else's schedule. And more often than not, they take a lot more time than I think most people are hoping for. So if they can wait until after the election, at which point it'll be moot, then I think they will. But there is a distinct possibility that they would feel the need to get it out there a lot quicker if he does end up in jail for any of this stuff.
So the mainstream outlets out there, USA Today in particular, are running with the narrative that it is neck and neck again. It is neck and neck again, Biden, Trump, 49, 48, 50, 51, blah, 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 blah. This is something that we continuously see. It's like, again, they constantly put it on repeat and rewind. You know, it's going to be a red wave, and then it gets up to, oh, we're a week out, and all of a sudden these guys are neck and neck. They're only 2 or 3 points apart. We continuously hear the same thing. It doesn't seem to matter that Biden is clearly not only not in control of his facilities, but very unpopular across the board. And I don't think there's enough TDS in the United States right now to compensate for that in any type of corrupt polling system. Yet these are the narratives we're seeing from USA Today. Do you think that this is just going to continuously be hammered home with doctored numbers? And essentially, I would say, you know, either polls that don't really exist or are heavily gamed.
I tend to believe that all polls are going to be skewed to the left in whatever way they can be. As far as I can tell, USA Today appears to be a lone voice in the wilderness, kind of using that old tactic, the idea of voter suppression, you know, letting them think that, oh, it might go one way, it might go the other. Because if you look at all the other polls, Donald Trump is leading. I mean, he's a clear odds-on favorite. And when you put a third party candidate or a series of third party candidates in, like, you know, Jill Stein, RFK Jr., Cornel West, it's even better for him. He wins by an even larger margin. And, you know, take a look at the country, Jason. I mean, we are now at a point where a majority of America believes that Trump's first term in office was successful and Biden's is a disaster. We have a majority of people who believe that we need those Trump-era immigration policies back in place so that we can secure the nation and provide for national security for the people. We have a majority of people who now believe that building a border wall is actually a good idea. And we have a majority of people who believe that they would support the military rounding up and deportation of millions and millions of illegal aliens that have come over since Joe Biden moved into 1600. So I think between now and November, the state of the nation is only going to get worse. And I think that those numbers are only going to get better for Donald Trump, because more and more people are going to look and they're going to say, well, you know, either they love him and they're going to support him, or they're starting to believe, based upon what's happening in America, that maybe they had it wrong the first time. Or at the very least, that if we go back to more of the same, then that's essentially the same thing as taking back your crazy alcoholic ex-girlfriend. It's not going to end up good.
Yeah, but people do it all the time. And that really harkens me to my next point. And that point is, you know, I just went back to my college town for my alumni weekend. Now, some of the features that were not there previously, at least not to this extent, is the number of homeless people in a very, very small area on Main Street. It's the first time I saw the gentleman wearing a tie as a piece of headgear on a consistent basis. Now, for those that don't know, Oneonta is also the first place in the United States, I think it was a couple years ago now, where they put the Narcan machines, which is deployed on a regular basis via these vending machines. Listen, it was so bad, Zach, that the hotel, the only hotel on Main Street, first of all, there was one hotel that was housing a lot of what they're calling, they have a special name for the homeless. You can't call them homeless. I think it's like non-residential. You know, it's like, unhoused. You can't make this stuff up. That's the type of things that they're doing. But that, the townhouse is no longer, I didn't even have Wi-Fi in my hotel. Okay. I mean, in New York State, folks, in a college town, also enrollment down 1,500 kids, just not what I want to see. So again, I want to believe that they won't take back the drunken girlfriend, but I've seen people take that girlfriend back when she's got a new smack and meth problem. That's all I'm saying. All right. Last story of the day. We've got the Human and Health Services right there sharing its plans for promoting safe AI. This is it. They've got a new artificial intelligence system. Now, I'll be really honest. I have not read the 34-page documentation, but it is extremely wide-ranging. And I've already seen how AI has been utilized in not so great authoritarian manners. And I've already seen the HHS utilized for not so great and authoritarian measures. So what do you think about this? Because this is not a story I'm hearing, not only in the mainstream, but really in the alternative either.
You know, the idea of AI and AGI more specifically, I mean, it's ubiquitous. I mean, it's everywhere right now. I mean, there's always conversations about AI and there's always conversations about the possible ramifications. And I guess I got to tell you, if it's a plan that's coming from the government, any federal agency, can't tell you that I really have a lot of, you know, I don't have a lot of trust in it, even though I haven't seen it myself. But I mean, like, what are we supposed to do? I mean, somebody has got to put some guardrails up, because at some point, if there is nothing in place to protect it and keep it inside of a bottle that's going to stop it from just heading out into the real world and taking total control of all of our systems, I don't know where humanity stands. I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion that if AI is allowed to run amok, then it's going to be used in the most dystopian and authoritarian ways that we can possibly imagine. You know, I mean, just think about everything horrible and they're going to do it. And if it's allowed to evolve on its own accord, then it's inevitable that at some point it's going to realize that the problem on Earth is man itself. And things would probably just be a lot better if we weren't around. Now, well, the only way that that wouldn't work is if it was necessary for us to be surviving so that the AI itself could survive. So I don't know. Honestly, Jason, I don't know what the answer is on this stuff, but the pace at which AI is evolving and growing and the various companies that are developing it, it's pretty stunning. And, you know, I think about where we were a year ago, 2 years ago, And I shudder to think where we're going to be in a year or two from now. And it's already in government agencies. They're only just now beginning to admit it. And I can't believe that whatever they would tell the general public you must do with AI to keep people safe from it is the same thing that they're going to be doing behind closed doors. I would imagine that it's probably going to be unbridled in the worst possible way.
And that's the issue. These are rules for thee and not for me. And the bottom line is we've already seen what the starting point to have actual superior consumer level AI, as we covered that earlier in the program. It's extremely expensive to access the NVIDIA servers that make a lot of this possible. But then we have to understand that Google has their own private server network that they've utilized with NASA and DARPA, D-Wave systems, quantum computing back in the day. That's become much more advanced. And yes, there are these circular lawsuits. So we were talking about that, about OpenAI today. But ultimately, what we're seeing at consumer levels, for instance, we discussed this with Matt Baker, AWS, Amazon Web Services. Well, they've got the digital assistants they're rolling out for their corporate structure to get rid of some of the minions. They've got the Q apps that are being developed for the rest of us that we will have access to. Zach, what would you like to leave us with, and where can people see your stuff, brother?
Well, thank you as always for having me, Jason. Appreciate you. You can check out my website, redpill78news.com. I am redpill78 on pretty much all social networks except for like Facebook and stuff. But check me out. I do shows 6 days a week, Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. and Friday and Saturday at 9 p.m.
Zach, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys for joining us here on the Jason Burma Show, only on TNTRadio.live. Please continuously check us out, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Remember, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I love you guys. We'll see you on the flip side.